Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Flex Cortex. Today, I'm joined by Bryn, and we are going to talk about not being defined by your past, which I think is going to be a really good topic for today, because I'm sure a lot of us have done things or been through things that we often limited us and defined us by, and it's limited what we're doing with our jobs and how we believe in ourselves and everything. So a little bit of information on Bryn. She went to Mount Royal University or college in Calgary, 2-year diploma there for her personal training. And she's been working in the field for half a decade now. And she works in tandem with her husband in her online coaching business, specifically with women and helping women get their body of their dreams and working towards their goals. So thank you so much for coming on today. I'm really looking forward to this conversation, and I'm all about the topic. I think it's gonna be really fun.
Going to be a good one. And thank you for that awesome intro.
Yeah, of course. Of course. So everybody comes on and I make them give their villain origin story. I want to know everything. Well, not everything, but I want to know the major important details on what got you into working out, what got you into fitness, and then what made you want to become a coach, right? And what kind of segued that into that for your career.
Okay, well, let's start with the villain origin story.
Yes.
So I actually grew up in a religious household, Mormon to be exact. I just want to preface by saying, like, I don't blame the Mormon church for, like, you know, stuff that I went through. But growing up, there were certain expectations of me that I didn't live up to. And so because of that, I felt a lot of shame, unworthiness, which affected my self-confidence and self-worth.
Okay.
And I would say, like, this didn't start until when I was like 13. 13 was when I was like, okay, there's something more. Like, there's a lot more to life than I realized. And so I found myself pushing back a little bit against the church and, like, what my parents wanted for me. I was like, well, I don't want that for me. But I was only 13, so I didn't really get a voice in that.
Yeah, you were young.
Yeah, I was very young and impressionable and just, obviously, I didn't know what was best for me, but I just knew, like, there's just, like, something more, and, like, I wanted to experience more. So my junior high years, they were okay, but I was definitely, like, experimenting more with, like, talking to boys, which I wasn't really allowed to do, and just, like, conversations with friends that maybe would be inappropriate from a Mormon perspective. Mm-hmm. I experimented with weed when I was only 13, which is normal. So young. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe it. And then it progressively got worse once I got into high school, because in high school is like, okay, like, it's even more of a bigger deal to, like, find your friend group and start creating your identity and just, like, find your place. And, like, I just felt like I just could not find my place in high school. Like, I had a couple of friends, but I would end up having falling outs with them, and oh my God, like, I was such an insecure person growing up in high school. Like, I had a couple of boyfriends throughout high school, and yeah, like, just the insecurities would show a lot, like, with other girls. And I think because I would always compare myself to them, because growing up in the Mormon church, since I didn't live up to certain expectations, there was a lot of comparison.
Yeah.
So in high school, I started doing a lot of that to myself. I'm like, oh, well, she's prettier than me. She's whatever more than me. And so I would I was not a very nice person in high school. I was very angry, just very insecure, low self-confidence. And that ended up having me turn to hard drugs when I was 16. It was like Molly every weekend. So just because I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. Like, I feel so good.
Yeah.
I had like a couple of friends that I would do it with. So it became like a weekend thing. And then, it was a terrible habit. Thankfully, it didn't last too long. And it wasn't like, it didn't become like a serious addiction or anything. But doing it every weekend was definitely not great for, you know, 16, 17-year-old girl.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think, thank you for sharing, first of all, because I think that's very vulnerable and it's good to share your struggles because I think people can truly understand where you came from. And I think it also encourages a lot of relatability. I think it allows mm-hmm. people to understand that like they're not alone. Other people have likely experienced similar things too. And it's good to just like share so people can have that reference point, but also to like, it shows that you're not, again, kind of ties into what we're talking about today too, defined by your past and stuck being a certain way, right?
Exactly.
Because even for like myself too, I had a phase where Molly and mushrooms and everything.
Yeah.
and it was like, it was fun. I don't regret having that time and period of my life where I did that too, but it was a form of escapism. I was trying to escape something. I was like you mentioned too, like, I think I was seeking validation externally as well too. I was looking for affirmation from people. And, you know, at that point in that time, you're like, you're young. So you're just looking for like whatever you can get. You maybe don't have a good idea of who you are. You don't have a good idea of who you are. And you're hoping that what you do and the people around you can define that. And you're like trying to, you're like desperately trying to latch onto it. Right. And it can be challenging for a lot of people. And I think it's very common.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Especially like when you're at that age, like 16, 17, 15, like it's such a weird time in your life because you feel like you know it all and you don't.
No, totally. So for you now then, since you've had some time to reflect upon all the years, right? What would you say were the biggest reasons that you leaned towards that rebellious phase and what helped you kind of get past that?
I think it was just because I had been sheltered for so long. And like, there was this thing that like, that made me feel so confident, like confidence that I didn't have in myself. But when I turned to the drugs, it was like, whoa, like this is like pure euphoria. And the people that I was hanging out with, so it started because I was seeing this guy. I was dating this guy. He was a very bad influence on me. And I like so desperately wanted to be like worthy of this guy's love for some reason. And yeah, he got me into drugs. And so like, I was like, well, if I do them, then he's going to think I'm cool or whatever. And like my friends that I'm hanging out with, like they'll think I'm cool. So again, just seeking that validation from other people because I couldn't do that myself.
And this is maybe a personal question. You don't have to answer this too. Do you think it stemmed from the relationship and dynamic between you and your parents?
Oh yeah, certainly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Like it was pretty rough growing up with my mom, especially. And again, like I don't blame her for anything. We have a very good relationship now.
I was just going to ask.
We have a good relationship now. And, but like growing up, I couldn't talk to her about anything because I would be afraid of getting in trouble. So everything was a secret. And again, just that feeling of unworthiness because I was pushing myself away more and more from the church, which created more tension between me and my mom. Because she wanted, you know, the perfect Mormon family, which she wasn't getting. So I understand that, like, for her and her reactions, it was just coming from a place of fear. And so a big part of, like, trying not to be defined by my past is, like, being at peace with all of those things, like, making peace with my mom, making peace with, like, you know, growing up in a religious household, making peace with, like, all the dumb mistakes that I made as a young teenager. Those are all such, like, super important things to make peace with in order for me to be like, okay, that's not me anymore. I don't identify with that anymore. Like, I'm a completely different person now than I was in high school. And I feel like a lot of people have a hard time letting go of that identity of what they had of themselves in high school, because it's such a weird, impressionable time.
Like we mentioned earlier in this episode too, like, you're just like, you're figuring stuff out. You're kind of maybe floating between friend groups. You don't really know who you are. You don't know what you want to do for, like, for work and for post-secondary school. Maybe you're, like, kind of in and out of friend groups. Like you mentioned before, like, maybe you're in relationships where you're trying to, like, make them want you more or make them love you. And it's such a weird time where, like, you're kind of floating, like, and most people kind of, like, in just going a circle because they find that they're, like, they're not really settled in a place yet. And like you mentioned, I think people often identify with things that happened and they let it define them and shape them. Whereas, like, it's good to see the things that happen to you as things that make you who you are. Because for me, I believe that, like, if we didn't have all those things that happened to us, and if we didn't have all those things that we went through, we wouldn't be where we are today. We wouldn't be who we are today, because we've had to, like, face that. We've had to face it, the adversity. We've had to persevere through it. We've had to change it. We've had to grow. And we've had to, like, learn from those mistakes and be a better person too. Whereas, like, a lot of people tend to, like, look at these things and be like, well, I've had this tough go, or I've had these things holding me back, and I'm stuck. I can't change. I can't be different because, you know, this is who I am. I'm stuck this way. And, like, you know, I think it's so important to just remember that you're not. And, like, if you think you're stuck, you will stay stuck.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And yeah, we'll get into, like, how I decided to not be stuck, but, I think I was doing drugs for, like, it was, like, a little bit out of high school, but it was mostly in high school. And like I said, I was in and out of, like, friendships. But there got to a point in grade 12, I had no friends. usually in high school, you have those, like, close couple of friends that, like, you always just, like, stick together. I didn't have that. I was going to Centennial. And I think it was just because, like, I was just not a nice person, or, like, just something would happen with a friend, or, like, the guy that I was dating, I would, like, break up with them. I wasn't very nice to the guys that I was dating either. Like, I would cheat on them, which kind of, it speaks more on my character, or back then, just because of my own self-worth. It was just very low. So I was like, oh, whatever. Like, doesn't matter if I do this. Again, like, I was seeking validation from other people. So when I was getting that validation, I'd be like, oh, okay. I would, like, pursue other things, even though I was in a relationship with somebody. I didn't have, in grade 12, I didn't have that, like, close buddy pal or anything that I could stick to. So I ended up switching over to Henry Wisewood for literally the last half of grade 12, because I was like, I don't want to graduate with any of these people. Like, none of these people are my friends. I don't care about any of them. But my best friend, she was going to Henry Wisewood at the time, so I switched so I could be closer to her. And it was definitely better. I was definitely like with like a better group of people. And like I had like a couple of like friends that I could lean on, which was great. So it was definitely a good choice, but I should have made the decision earlier.
That's okay. I think it can be challenging because you don't know what the right decision is at the time, right? You're like, do I stay put? Do I move forward? But I think, obviously, we'll talk about this, I'm sure, more today too. Like, the environmental components are such a big factor on this stuff too, right? Like, what you're regularly surrounded by, or what you regularly consume. Like, if it's like social media, let's say, content wise, or just like people that you're currently around all the time, that plays like a big play into what you're choosing to do. And like, there's like that saying where it's like, you're going to be like the four or the five people that you surround yourself with the most. And like, that's super valid because, you know, if you surround yourself with people that don't do anything, don't have any drive or ambition, and don't want to do challenging things in life, you're likely to like see that and be living a life that's very similar because that's what you're surrounded by.
Exactly. That's so true. So definitely got myself into a better environment when I switched schools. And then, yeah, like I think it was like 16, 17, I tried going to the gym a little bit, but it wasn't really anything crazy. Like, I think I tried going for like a summer, but I was like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So it didn't stick. And then it was probably, how old was I? Maybe 18. I think 18 years old is like when I started going to the gym like a little bit more, because I had a friend that was going to the gym and she's like, oh, you should come. So I was like, okay. And I went a couple of times and then something just kind of clicked. I was like, oh, okay. This actually feels like really nice. And I started seeing changes in my body, and then I had a couple of people start like asking me questions. They're like, oh, you look so great. Like, how do I grow my ass? Or like, blah, 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 blah. And then that's kind of when it hit me, when I realized that this was something that I could be good at, because I still didn't know what I really wanted to do in life. Still figuring myself out. I was still insecure. Low self-worth, low self-confidence. But I just felt this like thing like pushing me towards fitness and health. And so like I started going for runs in the summertime and started eating salads because I wanted to be healthy. You know what you do when the first couple of things that you start doing.
You're like, I'm a brand new bitch because I just salad today. Like,
look at me with my running shoes and salads.
I'm sure it's similar with guys in their first protein shake. They're like, oh, I'm gonna get so fucking big from this protein shake I just had.
Huge.
Yeah, so that's funny.
True. Oh my god, yeah, that's kind of how it was, and then I looked into a nutrition some sort of nutrition certification over at SATE. There's like, I can't remember what the exact like course is called, but it's just like a certification course where you can like write meal plans and stuff and just like learn about nutrition. And I pursued that in, I think it was 2017. So yeah. Just 2 years after I graduated high school. And I really liked it. I was like, this is definitely like something that I can see myself doing long term. But I still really wasn't like taking my own like health and fitness seriously just yet. It was kind of just like I was going to the gym, but I was still like, you know, I was still drinking on the weekends, and I was in a a relationship at the time that wasn't super fulfilling, and like he didn't really go to the gym, so like it wasn't really my first priority. But I still knew that this was like something that I wanted to pursue, because I realized that there was something, like I could just like feel it. And then that's when I started going to Mount Royal University for a 2-year diploma course. And yeah, I just felt like I was in the right place and this is where I needed to be. And I realized like the gym can be such a safe space for like an outlet for stress, anxiety. And that was another thing that was super debilitating, was just dealing with like anxiety every single day. And like I found the gym was like my place to just like put everything aside and just focus on like me and feel strong and like do hard things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, all right, this is good for me. Because when you put yourself in those situations of discomfort, like trying to hit a PR in the gym or even just showing up to the gym, it really creates that like that discipline, which gives you more self-worth, because you're like, okay, I can do that thing that I said I was going to do. I can do hard things. And like, I just felt myself starting to like really find my place in society and just like find my identity. Like, and so school was great. I loved Mount Royal. Like the courses were great. Teachers were great. It was all great. And then, my dad, he got sick. So he was diagnosed with cancer in, when did he get diagnosed? But, you know, he was sick throughout my whole like school career, because he got diagnosed in 2016. And, okay. I found that kind of on the tail end of school, because just with the stress of that and everything, like my anxiety was just like through the roof, because I'm like, okay, if the gym is supposed to make me feel like, you know, like less anxious, or it's supposed to help with anxiety, I'm like, why do I still have so much anxiety?
That's valid, yeah.
And it's just because of like just everything that was going on. And I was just like, mainly focusing on like the vanity of, you know, going to the gym, just like looking good. Like I knew it like made me feel like more confident and everything, but like I didn't realize to what extent at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was just kind of like, okay, yeah, like I feel good, but there's still, you know, that anxiety. And then I graduated Mount Royal. When did I graduate? I think 2019 is when I graduated.
Cool.
Yeah, 2019. And then I started my practicum over at a private gym. And they ended up hiring me. And then it was COVID.
Basically,
as soon as I got hired, it was like, bam, lockdown. So I was like, perfect.
Yeah.
Off to a really good start. And I'm still like, I'm still working on myself, like still working on my self-confidence. Like I wasn't fully there yet. There's still lots to work on. And then 2020, October 15th was when my dad passed away from cancer. And it was just like, oh, and a month before that, I was in a 3-year relationship and we had broken up. So it was just like, everything had just come crashing.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
And I was just at a point where I was like, what the fuck? Like, I didn't even know what was left or right. I'm like, I don't even know what is happening right now. And my anxiety just got to a point where it was just like so bad. And just like every day, like I just wanted to like run away and hide. And I was like, what the hell is this? And that was a huge turning point for me where I'm like, I have a lot of things that I think I need to work through, because I think yeah. I'm still holding on to a lot of old self-beliefs. And I just need to like let myself like just be happy and just be fully me. And so I started going on this like I guess healing journey, you could say, and just start like well, first thing was like I really made my health a priority. Not just my physical health, but like my mental health as well. And I leaned to the gym even more. And so like I really started like training like really hard. And like my food, I was taking more seriously, like cutting back on alcohol, like all the things. And I started doing like a little bit of counseling and just journaling. That was a big one. Just like all those like little things. And yeah, like the gym just like became such a safe space for me. And like I started to feel even more gratitude towards it, because I'm like, obviously, like I used the gym for a long time as an outlet. But like at that point in my life, I'm like, this is like so important to me. And I just knew that like what I'm doing with my own coaching business is like, this is exactly where I should be. And like everything that I had done previously has led me to the point where I am at now, because now I can relate to my clients that maybe have low self-confidence or low self-worth and really just want to find their place and their power in the gym. Because I went through that. Yeah, I don't know.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I came from a place of just like being a scared, sad, lonely little kid. And, you know, now I can like, you know, talk on a podcast or like put myself on social media. And like, I know I'm capable now. Like I'm capable of doing hard things, and I know I'm a resilient person. And like, I wouldn't say I'm like perfect now. Like I'm still working on it.
Yeah. Well, I think we're all working on it still, right?
Exactly. And I think that's just going to be a lifelong thing. And rather than like running away from, you know, all my problems or like the anxiety, it's something that I lean into now, and I'm like, okay, like why do I feel this way? Is it because of, you know, my past with like my mom, or is it like just those feelings of like guilt, unworthiness? I really, really had, and I'm still working on those things. Like even yesterday, actually, I don't know if you know what cranial sacral therapy is.
A little bit, but you could explain it so people have more context.
Okay. It's a little hard to explain. So your body holds on to a lot of trauma and emotions, and sometimes that can manifest itself in like chronic pain, tightness, just certain ailments. Basically, what they do is they use their hands to like help guide your body to help release those emotions and traumas. And it's so awesome. It's so cool. So I had a session yesterday, and I haven't had one in like a few months. And it's interesting because we were actually talking about like my past with my mom, which was really interesting. And like, I felt like certain emotions come up. I was like, whoa, I'm like, I haven't felt or thought about those in a while. And so like, that's how I know. I'm like, okay, I obviously still have some stuff to work through. But that's like a huge part of like my healing journey for sure is doing that and just like helping my body just work through those emotions and instead of like bottling them up is just feeling them and working through them. And even just like talking to somebody about it is awesome. Like she's great. Like my cranial sacral therapist, her name's Tara. Shout out to Tara. And she's great at what she does. And just the way she like uses her language and guides you through it, it's really, really cool.
No, that's amazing. I think there's a lot to kind of unpack within that, all that too. And I think the first thing I wanted to say is sorry to hear about your dad. That sucks. And I couldn't even imagine having to go through the loss of a parent, but obviously you're able to still see it as a thing that has allowed you to learn more about yourself, which I think is like a good way to go about thinking about it. Cause obviously it's one of those things where you can't change the outcome of it. So you have to just try to see it for what it is. And I think that that's very powerful. It's a good place to be for yourself. And the next thing I kind of wanted to comment on was just what you mentioned there with the therapy. And I think it's so interesting to be in tune with your body and your mind. And I think oftentimes a lot of like normal therapy that we're doing, we'll say normal, I will air quote that, is more focused on like the brain and trauma and triggers. But I think like you mentioned, oftentimes our body holds on to this trauma or these triggers and this tension as well. Like you mentioned it in the forms of chronic pain, maybe it's IBS, maybe it's some sort of, I'm losing my train of thought here. Some sort of issue regarding like digestion or some sort of thing regarding like any kind of physiological science, right? Or it might be affecting our health in general. So it's cool to think about like these things can kind of all tie together and work hand in hand, in turn allowing you to let go of things better, but also in turn just be like, I hate using the word healthier, but like we'll air quote healthier.
Yeah.
Because like, what does that really even mean? But yeah, like again, just being healthier overall. And I think it's cool. It's really neat how there's like a big push on that stuff right now too, just in general. Like it's being pushed a lot more for people to do therapy and talk to someone and be more open, be more in touch with their emotions and like understand their feelings and themselves more.
Exactly. And it's so nice that there are so many different kind of modalities for that rather than just like sitting in a room and like telling somebody hey, my life sucks, help me. I was like, I don't want to do that. I needed to find something that was going to work for me. And then that's kind of when I found cranial sacral therapy, because like, I didn't want it to just be like, just talking. Cause like, I knew I'm like, there's something in my body. Like I could just feel this like tenseness, this tightness that I need to let go of. And I just couldn't. And it manifested itself in like anxiety and like, just tension headaches, just tightness. So yeah, like it's such an awesome, cool way to go about therapy, and highly recommend anyone who hasn't tried it to really, really try it. It's also great for anybody that has had like concussions.
Cool. Nice.
Yeah. Or like any kind of like chronic pain, but it's really awesome.
So in doing all of this therapy recently for yourself, I guess over the past recent years, right? Has your anxiety drastically decreased? Has your inflammation drastically decreased too? And like overall, have those health metrics increased and improved?
Hell yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, like I couldn't even go to like the dentist without shaking.
Okay, so it was really bad anxiety.
It was really bad, yeah. And I was just like, what the fuck is this? Like, this is not me. I'm like, oh, it was just so debilitating. And like, even just like talking to certain people, I could just feel myself start to like shy away and like want to like run away and hide. And like I would avoid like going to places, seeing friends, doing things, just because I was just like so anxious about it. And yeah, that was like such a huge turning point for me, because I'm like, I cannot live my life like this. Like, what is this? And so, yeah, that's when I really started looking for some sort of route to take to help me deal with all of my past emotions that I was still holding on to, and just work through it. So, yeah, the cranial is a huge part of it. And journaling as well, and of course like the gym, and just like making that a space to like not just like lose weight or, you know, grow my ass, but like have it be a space where I can like just feel strong and like reclaim my power and build discipline. And because when you're building discipline or in the gym, like that translates into so many other things in life.
1000%. And like,
yeah, and I think people don't realize like how helpful the gym can be, like not just for your like your health, but like just for building habits and just being aware of bad habits and turning them into better ones, and just growing your self-worth, your confidence. It's such a great vehicle for that.
Yeah, there is a really good point you touched upon there that I want to try to like dig into a little bit more too. And that was the point of like, you initially went into the gym to like just change your body and like build an ass. And I think like everybody kind of starts off with like the vanity reasons, right? Like even for myself too, like I was like, I want to look different to appeal to women. And it's like, you start going to the gym and you're like, yeah, oh yeah, I'm going to get like all the bitches now because I'm working out, whatever. And then like you soon kind of realize, like once you've been doing it for like maybe 6 months, a year, you realize, like you mentioned, that like everything's changing, right? Mm-hmm. Your diet's changing, your sleep is changing, your energy levels are changing, your stress management is improving. Likely, you know, the relationship with yourself is improving as well. And then you realize that it started out of like this, I won't say self-hate, because self-hate is kind of intense, but it kind of, I guess it's kind of sort of accurate though. It kind of starts off as like this self-hatred, or we look at ourselves in a certain way where we're like, I don't like how I look, or I don't like how I appear right now. And then within that, you realize just how amazing it is for so many different things, and you stay in it for the reasons that it isn't almost regarding the body anymore at all. It's almost like the numerous health reasons, physiologically, mentally, and everything, for staying in the gym and working out.
100%. Yeah, it's so much more than just looking good.
But I feel like people need that initially. They need that point where they're like,
Yes. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to look good. Like that should be one of your motivators. But if you're going to be consistent in the gym, it should be more than just that.
Yeah. Yes.
And I think that there comes a point where like, say you are like trying to like change yourself physically in the gym. I feel like there comes a point where you realize, oh, like my sleep is getting better. My stress levels are changing. Like I'm not feeling as stressed. I am showing up a little bit differently to my workplace. Like I'm feeling more confident. Like even if you're not trying to work towards it, I feel like you still unintentionally work towards it. And then eventually you'll be like, okay, yeah, I am feeling some things.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love the piece that you mentioned there too, about like the discipline that you instill into just following a routine, how that carries over into like everything. And just by adhering to doing hard things over a long period of time improves your said capacity for doing hard things outside of the gym too. Like you're way more inclined to take on a new hobby. You're way more inclined to get into a healthier relationship. You know, you're way more inclined to be happy in your relationship, to have good friendships that support you, you know, adhere to things longer term. And I think it's good to like also do things you don't like doing within the gym too, because I think that teaches you that if you can actually stick to something and like be like, I don't want to do this at all, but still do it, go through it and give it a solid effort, then like what else can't you do?
Exactly. You become unstoppable.
Yeah. That's like for you go.
Sure. I won the Stairmasters the other day. And anyone who's been on the Stairmasters knows how much it sucks.
Yeah.
I originally had planned, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do 30 minutes. I'm going on the stairs. I was like, oh man, I fucking hate this. Like, I'm only going to do 20. I'm only going to do 20 minutes. That's all I got. And then I hit 20 minutes and I was like, nah, I'll do 30 minutes. So I ended up doing the 30 minutes. But afterwards, like, I felt really good about it. I'm like, okay, awesome. Like, I pushed myself to get to the 30 minutes. Like, I had told myself I was going to do. I kept that promise to myself.
Yeah.
And I felt so much better for it.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, that's like leg day. So I'll be the, you know, probably not the first guy to admit, but I'll openly admit that leg day is not my favorite.
I think most guys feel that way.
Yeah. What did I do in lieu of that? I gave myself 2 leg days. So I was like, you know what? I was like, let's suffer this pain twice a week. So then that way, eventually, I'll hopefully enjoy it more. And I can say that within journaling and everything too, I am beginning to like leg day. I wouldn't say like, because I would say like is, oh, it's hard, so hard to say. But I would say I'm beginning to like it. Yeah. I see it as a good mental and physical challenge, which I think in turn allows me to see the benefits from it, which in turn allows me to like it.
Nice. That's a good way to look at it.
It's that, or I was like, it's that, or I'm like, okay, I just don't see the benefits in it. So I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. If you weren't seeing the benefits, then you'd be like, this is not worth it.
Yeah. Also, guys, this is for the guys out there. You don't want to look like a Dorito too much. Okay. We don't want to have good shoulders, a good taper, you know, well-developed arms and chest, and legs that look like a plank. So let's do some things here. Let's do legs at least once a week. Okay. Or if you're trying to punish yourself, do it twice a week and don't bitch and complain about it.
How about
just do it.
Don't skip the legs. If you need some leg motivation, just look at my husband's legs. Coach Rob Fit, I think is his Instagram.
Plug.
What is... No, this guy, his legs...
Maybe are... I'll go look at his Instagram and then go I'll look want at to do his legs. Instagram. Okay, I'll do this live right now.
Wait. Hold on, no. His Instagram is... Oh, right, he changed it. Rob Andre Fit.
Oh, I'm already following him.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's my husband.
Okay, yeah, now you can tell him that I'm good with doing legs twice a week now.
There's your motivation right now.
Yeah, so I had a couple questions for you. Let's say you got a client and they came to you and they are inspired by your story. And they maybe experience similar things, but let's say that they're having a tough time of moving past their path, their past, right? And, you know, they're doing the right things. Maybe they've done some therapy. They've talked to a professional about it. What would be some things that you would do with them to help them move into this new version of themselves that they're trying to become? Because obviously both you and I know that if you're trying to step into this new position, this new version of you, but you're still surrounded by these old beliefs and like maybe telling yourself these things, limiting yourself from growing, you won't actually be able to be that new version of yourself.
I love that question. So what I would do is, one thing that I actually love to do with my clients is get them into the habit of journaling. And just like, just write about it, you know, like, what is this? Like, for an example, I did this with one of my clients. She thought that she could not stick to a caloric deficit, but she really wanted to like lose some fat. But she's like, I just don't think I can do it. Like, well, why? Mm-hmm. Why don't you think you can do it? And so I told her to journal about it, and it works so well every time. And she came back to me and she's like, I won't say like exactly just because it's her journal entry, but she's like,
Of course.
Yeah. She's like, Brynn, like I realized like this and this and this. And I was like, that makes so much sense. And so when you bring awareness to it, you can be like, oh, okay, I'm doing that thing again where I have this self-belief of myself that's holding me back from doing the thing that I want to do. Okay. Those are old beliefs. So I'm like, you remember that it's just throw that shit away. And so they're like, okay, they're aware of it. Throw those old beliefs and just like try again doing the thing. And another thing that I really want them to remember is like, they don't have to be perfect. There's going to be times where those thoughts and feelings are going to come back and start telling you, you know, you're not good enough. This is too hard. You can't do this. It's just try again. Keep trying, because if you get to the point where you let those thoughts and feelings win and you end up quitting on yourself, like you are going to feel honestly pretty shitty.
Yeah. No, 1,000%.
I'm like, if you want to build that confidence that you so badly desire, then you have to keep those promises to yourself. So I guess a lot of it is just like communication with my clients. And like getting to the habit of journaling and just like working it through with themselves, because I think that's also really important, is like just working through those thoughts and feelings with yourself as well, and not just, you know, other people. So I would say those are probably like the biggest things that I do for sure.
You know, I love the journaling practice. I think that's like a huge one. And I feel like, people have this like weird idea of journaling. Like they think it's for people that are like really fucked up. They're like, oh, like you must be messed up if you journal. And like, who knows? Who am I to judge? But again, it's like you could just, again, dump into there and dump like nobody's reading it. Like, exactly. don't write it out like you're posting it on an Instagram post, right? Don't be like,
exactly. You
know, today I feel as if, you know, blah, blah, blah. But like, just like, dump, just like use it for what it's for, just like dump what you're feeling, what you're thinking, even if it doesn't make any sense. It can help you kind of like understand, rationalize these things, and like bring more light to your feelings, bring more awareness to your feelings. And like oftentimes you could work through a lot of it by just reading it and writing it out too.
Exactly. If you are worried about somebody reading your journal, you can get ones that have like the little locks on it. Or just like put it somewhere where you know nobody's going to see it or find it. But exactly, you want to just like dump on word vomit, just get it out. Like, what is it that's bothering you? And then when you're thinking about that thing, think about like where you're feeling it.
Yeah.
And what you're feeling. Like, okay, am I feeling unworthiness? Okay, where am I feeling it? And like, why? Start to work through that and just go for it.
Yeah, I had a client. This is kind of a cool segue of this too. He didn't like journaling, but he started doing a video journal.
Oh, interesting. I like
that. So he would just like do a video of him talking to his camera in the morning. And he would just like use it as a journal. So then like when he looked back through it, he saw like all these videos of himself talking. And he said like he didn't like writing. So he was just like, I feel like I can't write. It just doesn't like make sense for me. And he just used a video journal. And he said it was really helpful for him because he's like, you're saying it out loud. You're working through it still. And like the cool thing with that too is you can look back at it. And you can look back at it and watch it again. And even over a month, right, you could see 30 entries of how you've changed over that month or what you've come to terms with or whatever. And I think that was really cool too. Or even just getting like a recorder, like buying one online and just like talking to it and just having like that away somewhere too, where you can just like listen back to it. If you don't want to use a physical journal, it's just some way to like get things off of your chest and just.
Yeah. Like, I love that. That's actually, that's really cool.
Yeah, he found a lot of benefit from doing it too. And like, I remember when he told me that, like, I was all for it. Cause I remember like I had suggested journaling to him and he was like, I'm just not really into it. But then he just like kind of took it into his own, to just start doing the videos.
There you go. If writing doesn't work for you, do voice notes, video.
Yeah.
I like that actually. I'm gonna keep that in mind for clients who are like, I don't want to write in the journal.
Yeah. One thing too that I always like to do with clients as well is gratitude practices quite a bit with them.
Mm.
And I'm sure it kind of ties into journaling too. But I'll always make them think and I'm like, okay, gratitude practices, but not things that you do, things that you are.
Ooh.
Because obviously when somebody thinks about gratitude and reflection, they think like, I'm a great mom, I'm a great wife, I'm a great partner, you know? That's incredible. I'm super happy for you. Like, that's great. And I'm glad you have a great dynamic with your partner, like your kids, whatever. But that's who you are. Like, that's who you are. Like, that's what you, like, again, you are a mom, you are a wife, right? But like, who are you like deep internally?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you were to like, just strip yourself of all that stuff, like, who are you? And then, within doing so, like, it's had a lot of impact because people, again, they reflect and they improve their self-worth and confidence over time because they're reflecting on things like, you know what, I'm really talented at this, you know, I'm really good at this, or I'm really caring, I'm really honest, I'm really, really compassionate, right? And those are all things that like make somebody who they are, which again, I think is like a very powerful way of like just ever so slightly shifting the process.
100%. There is something really special and beneficial when you take the time to self-reflect. I feel like a lot of people don't do enough of that. And I think if we did more self-reflection, just even 5 minutes of your day to just sit there and reflect on your self-character, it can do pretty awesome things when you realize, oh, I do this thing because of this, or, oh, I feel this way because of this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I just listened to a podcast the other day, and it was actually all on impulse control. And he mentioned that people that lack impulse control are usually using it out of avoidance. So for me, I was like, oh shit, that's legit. Cause so then like, he was just mentioning that if like, you know, you lean towards food for comfort, you lean towards like other outlets for comfort, if that's all because you're trying to like avoid in some degree, whether it's avoiding emotions, avoiding being present, avoiding having tough conversations, avoiding whatever it may be, right? Like, you're just using that as a coping mechanism and just a way to like disassociate from like your reality.
That makes so much sense. What podcast is this?
I could send you it.
Yeah.
Yeah. His name's Connor Beaton. So he's actually, he has a PhD in psych. So he's really good.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll send you it though.
I've heard of him. Yeah.
It's relatively short, but it was like pretty eye-opening for me because obviously he did mention in the podcast too how like it's like he was talking to me. I was like, oh dude, are you in the room with me?
Whoa.
He's like you might be, you know, maybe you're really adhering to the workouts and you're really adhering to eating well, and like he's like, you know you're really taking care of yourself, but then like when stuff gets hard you like lean towards food, and he's like, that's still avoidance. And I was like, oh dude, don't call me out.
What
like
are you
that.
Running away fuck. From?
I'm like, fuck, are you in the car with me right now?
Oh, no, he's talking to me.
Yeah, and I was like, that's when you know it. It's like, it really resonates. So that's when I took that to heart. And he also gave a good thing to do, so I could leave people with this as well, is he was saying, as soon as you feel an impulse, to set a timer. So as soon as you feel like, as soon as you're, obviously, it requires a level of awareness. But as soon as you're like, oh, I really want pizza, immediately set a timer. And see if half an hour later you still want pizza. If you do, get pizza. But if half an hour passes and you don't, then it was just an impulse.
I love that.
Yeah.
Because then you become so much more aware of your impulses.
Yeah, and I know, right? And like even just doing that, you're like, why am I wanting pizza?
Exactly, exactly.
Oh, my day was super stressful. Oh, okay. Yeah. Or you're like, oh, actually, I haven't eaten since noon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's why I want to freaking destroy a whole pizza right now. And then you're like, I won't. Impulse control. I won't.
Impulse control. Yeah. Oh, that's such a great tool, because like every single person that is in a fitness journey like has some sort of bad habit that they're trying to work on. And
of course.
More oftentimes, it's always something to do with food, some sort of bad habit, and it's reaching for food in times of stress. And not just like any kind of food, but like shitty food, like a McDonald's or like a pizza. And
which can kind of hit sometimes, but time and place.
Time and place. Actually, I will admit, I had pizza last night.
Yeah, sidebar. Time and place for sure, but yeah.
But me and my husband, we're celebrating actually 4 years of dating. So we've been dating for 4 years.
Congrats.
And thank you. And
what better way than getting pizza?
we celebrated with pizza. But I feel like I'm at a place with food where I'm like I don't have those like impulses of food. Like I don't reach for food in times of stress. So it's like, I have that good relationship with food. And if I do have a pizza, it's not the end of the world. You know, like I'm not going to throw away all of my progress from having a couple slices of pizza. And that in itself can be a challenge for some people, is like even just like having something like that. And try not to feel those guilt feelings.
Love that. I think we create a lot of our own stress and suffering within the shame that we feel after we do something.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like
why do you feel guilty after eating pizza?
I found there's a lot of power within giving yourself permission beforehand or okaying the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So like within the journaling, just being like, it's okay that I had pizza. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, it's all right that I had pizza. Cause then if you wrote out, oh, that was so bad, I shouldn't have had pizza last night, then like you have the guilt, and then all of a sudden we're associating foods are good or as good or bad. And exactly. We're identifying behaviors as good or bad when they're just behaviors and really they're just foods. So it's just like, let's try to like give it less power and be like, it's okay that I had pizza because I wanted to have pizza yesterday. And it's like, it's crazy how much you can change everything once you realize that the way that you see things and the way that you identify things with is what carries a lot of the power in said thing.
Exactly. Even just changing the language that you use around that thing can totally change your perspective on how you see it. Like for food, like you said, it's okay that I had pizza. Just changing that language will completely change how you view the pizza, how you feel after eating it.
Yeah.
Language is huge.
I've also found like a very powerful thing for myself, because again, like I would say that I resemble a Hoover vacuum and my stomach is like the the black abyss of space. So I would say that when I am craving pizza, that I will always try to buy a size smaller than I want.
I should have done that yesterday.
No, you guys were celebrating a 4-year. That's different. But like, if I'm by myself, I'm just like, yeah, I want a large, but we're not getting a large. Yeah.
I couldn't use this advice yesterday.
Well, can't change the past, but we can change the future.
Exactly. I'm not defining myself off of that. Because we were so hungry when we got there, and we ended up ordering 2 16-inch pizzas.
Pop off.
So I was like, yeah. I'm like, bring it on. We can do it. And I think we only ate we ended up with a whole pizza. Like, we
halfway
only
ate through. One. You're getting the sweats. You're freaking hunched over. You're like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. But like, beginning, you're like, yeah, fist bump. Let's do this shit. Yeah, okay.
It's a piece of cake.
And you realize how dense it is. And you're like, oh my God, my stomach.
Oh, yeah. We had no chance.
So to wrap this thing up, what would be one piece of advice that you would give, or two pieces of advice that you would give to somebody that is struggling? Let's say a previous version of yourself, you know, when you experienced a lot of hardship in your life, what would be one piece of advice that you'd give to yourself then?
Give yourself a lot of time, because it's a long journey and things don't change overnight. And sometimes it'll be 2 steps forward and 1 step back. But that's just the journey. And, you know, eventually you're going to get to a point where you can look back and be like, wow, I have changed so much for the better, and I'm a better person for it. But it takes a long time. Like, I'm still working on it, but I can like confidently say, like, even just like 5 years ago, I'm a completely different person.
Love that. Love that. Yeah, no, thank you so much for coming on today. This was a lot of fun. I think there's a lot of great takeaways here for somebody that is getting into the gym, or for somebody that constantly finds that they self-sabotage, or they try and they fail and they just want to stop and give up. Remember, guys, you're not defined by your past. You're not defined by things that happened to you. Use those things as a reason to change and to be better. So thank you so much for coming on today. Let's quickly fire off your socials. People can follow you and all that stuff.
You can find me on Instagram at Bryn Solis, BRINSOLIS. I'm on TikTok. I would say, yeah, I'm on TikTok. It's the same on TikTok. I post the same shit.
Okay, that's still fair. Still plug both.
Grow both. Follow both.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you so much. It was great.